is brought to you by GloryGiftStore.com. At GloryGiftStore.com, we offer the very latest in quality Christian supplies, from DVDs and books to Bibles in every translation, communion, jewelry, T-shirts, clergy robes, and even homeschooling supplies are also available. GloryGiftStore.com, where you'll find everything to meet your Christian needs. So stop by GloryGiftStore.com today. That's GloryGiftStore.com.
Yes, yes. Shout out to our sponsor again, GloryGiftStore.com. Make sure you stop by there today. Put in Choose to Joy, all one word, in the promotional code, and you will get 15% off. We got a special guest. Again, we're bringing her back, Miss Gigi Arledge. Are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Hello? Loud and clear.
Right.
And, Miss, I guess I hit the wrong button or something, but it's set for 15 minutes. We're going to go way past that, but if anybody's listening online live right now, it's going to cut off in about 13 minutes, so just go back to the archive and you can listen to the entire show. Gigi, thanks for coming back on.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Hallelujah.
And let's just hop on in. And I remember yesterday we talked about how at 10 years old, you just came down with Tourette syndrome, and how devastating that was to you. And I remember Rose even saying, "Yes, your sister." She was saying how they was laughing at you, would make fun of you, and you kids would pick on you. You didn't have any friends. Just felt neglected and alone. And one day, years later, you was on your trampoline, and what happened? You just reached out to God, or?
Yeah. I just was on there, and I was just crying, upset, not knowing why, you know, and I just felt some kind of warm honey feeling come over me, and I didn't really know it at the time, but it was his presence, and it was his love, you know, while you were yet a sinner. The Bible says that Christ died and loved you, you know, and in that situation, in that circumstance, it was his love that healed me that day, and, you know, ever since then, been victorious, you know. I've had this, you know, speak against, like I told you, you know, if it would try to come up, just speak the word what the Lord gave me. But it's been a blessed journey since then.
You didn't do anything to deserve that. You just reached out to
him. Amen. No, didn't do anything to deserve it. Glory to God. And praise the Lord for his great love.
Jesus is a healer, man. I mean, he can heal anybody. Yes. You didn't have your ducks in a row. Matter of fact, at the time,
I was smoking pot. And, you know, it was just his love that just kept loving me in my darkness. And finally, it just, you know, it won. His love won me over.
How did that feel not to have to deal with that anymore?
Man, I can't even explain it. It was just a big, supernatural. Just joy.
Man, that must have been
just
great.
Joy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Praise God.
And also, we talked about how you started to smoke pot because you had the Tourette syndrome, and you just felt like it calmed you down and made you feel better. And then you end up getting healed, and the Holy Spirit taught you how to speak against it. If it ever came back up, you would just say, "I don't have Tourette's syndrome," and that would push the symptoms away. And but you, the medicine you took from having Tourette's syndrome was beginning to blow you up. You was getting big and chubby, like I've been my whole life. And then, but after you got healed, you didn't need the medicine no more. And shortly after, you graduated from high school, and you decided you was going to lose weight. And you end up losing a bunch of weight, getting in shape. You said you got your hair did, then you got the eye contacts, and all of a sudden you're like a supermodel.
Yeah.
And that changed the whole world. And you just started dabbling in the world. And what would you do? You would go to clubs, and you started using cocaine.
Yeah, clubs and modeling, just a hot mess. Just looking, you know, just looking to get love. You know, this whole world set up. I mean, it was just, you know, that lifestyle you're in, that's just pretty much, at the age of 20, when we left off yesterday after I had cocaine, at the age of 20, you know, I had everything a girl could want at 20. I was good looking. I had my family had money. I dated, you know, was rolling around with people that had money. And that's kind of where I was just like, man, this is empty. You know, people that are 40 and 50 work their life to get kind of where I was. And I was just miserable inside. You know, I could have whatever I wanted, when I wanted. I mean, pretty much, and just empty inside. And knew that there's something's wrong, you know, with what I'm doing.
So plenty of money, and, plenty of attention from guys, and you were still...
Yeah, just miserable.
Just
dating Selena, rolling around with celebrities, just going to the best clubs, flying on private jets, doing this, doing that, you know, and just inside, just... And a lot of the youth today, they look up to that. They want to be something. They want to be around celebrities. They want to wear the best, drive the best. And I did all that. And I was... That's why I was... at 20 years old, I mean, I wasn't even 21 yet to even get in the clubs, and I've already been through it. And I was miserable. You know, and that's when the Lord knew in my heart, even at that young age, I was ready, you know. I was miserable inside, you know, because this world isn't set up to satisfy you. Nothing in this world can and bring you joy and peace like his love for you on the cross, what he did for you, you know.
Wow. And so you, I remember you said that you, the first time you tried cocaine, you just got hooked, and it got so bad where you was even using it in the back of a Walmart. You just had to have it, and then you end up overdosing, and you was dying. You knew you was about to die, and you reached out to God and to save you, and you said you would serve him, and you went about, what did you say, about a couple of days, maybe a few days?
Like a couple of weeks.
You didn't use
a
couple of weeks, and then you was right back on drugs.
Yeah. I was right back on drugs, and I remember, like, I was, where we left off yesterday, I left a club that night, and it was, like, actually in the morning, it was, like, 6 o'clock, because they never stop in New Jersey, they just party all day and night, and I left in the morning, and I just looked at myself, and I was like, dude, I was not myself, I seen, like, the devil, and I was like, dude, something's got to change, I mean, this is bad, and so it went on again. You know, I went on a trip, and this is actually when my whole life changed. I went on this trip, and I literally smoked probably like a Ziploc bag of weed. It was crazy,
wow.
And I knew after my last blunt, I was like, "Dude, this is I'm done." Like, you know, you ever just you? I mean, it was just I just smoked so much, I never wanted to smoke again. It was like, oh my God,
right.
I don't know the Lord. I mean, I was just so over it, and so my heart was starting to cry out to God, you know, and I was actually in New York City. This is the day my whole life changed. I was in New York City, and I actually smoked all that weed, did all those drugs, and I wake up at a friend's house in a Brooklyn basement, and it was pitch black, and I could just remember feeling this darkness, like I was actually in hell, like a fear, scary feeling came over me. And I left, and that night I had a celebrity party I was going to go to. I had my green dress picked out. I had my heels. Everything was ready to go. You know, I was in New York, and I felt this voice say, go home to New Jersey. And, you know, where I live from New York's about an hour, 45 minutes, 2 hours, you know.
Okay.
So I just got in my car and just drove all the way home to near my parents, where my parents were, you know, my parents' house.
Right.
You know, and at this time, my parents did not get along. So I was kind of like a runaway for like 2 years. I would just leave, not call them, you know, just rebellious. And so, I mean, I just get in my car, go back home. And my sister Roseanne was praying at this time because she got really radically saved in November of 1999, she got saved. So I knew she was praying for me, you know.
Right.
And, so I drove all the way home. I don't know what I'm doing. I mean, I'm like, this is totally not my plan. I go home. I go to the gym. I'm on the treadmill, right? It's totally ironic. I'm running out. And this guy walks up to me. He's like, what are you doing here? I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, man, you need to be in church with your sister. I'm like, what are you talking about? And at that time, I would just cuss everybody. You know, I didn't have, I was like, what are you, you know, cussing them out. You know, I'm like, I need to be in church. I'm fine. What are you, you know, I was just rebellious and crazy, just full of rage and anger and just demons. And so the guy's like, man, you really need to be in church. And he wouldn't stop preaching to me. And I was like, oh, this guy's so annoying. So I just, like, got off the treadmill and just left. So I'm like, literally, I drive to my parents. It's like totally the Holy Ghost. Like, this was totally not in my schedule. I mean, you can ask my sister. I drive to my parents' house, right? I haven't seen them in, like, months. And so I see my sister is pulling down the driveway and my friend Colleen to go to church. So they saw me pull in, and they're like, praise God, oh, my God, the come over and I'm praying. I'm like, what are y'all talking about? I'm like, we prayed you in. We found ourselves, and we prayed you to come to church with us. I'm like, y'all didn't pray me in. I'm like, what I'm thinking, but they probably did, because what am I doing here, you know? Just randomly showed up, you know? And they're like, I'm like, I ain't going to blank, 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 blank church. And they're like, yeah, you are. You're coming to church. I'm like, no, I'm not coming to church. They're like, yes, you are. You're coming to church. And then my sister pulled up, like, you know, the right hook to get me to go. She's like, oh, the hot preachers are going to be there. There are these two preachers that were really hot. Look at me. They're real cute guys. They preach, you know. I mean, they're really cute, you know. And so, you know, I'm 20, so I'm like, you know what? I was like, you know, you done pulled the right hook on me this time. So I was like, all right. I know my thought was like, I'm just going to sit there and try to get them to lust and look at me and make them fall. That's how evil-minded I was, you know.
Wow.
I wasn't even thinking like, I was wicked in my heart. So, you know, I had this little, I had 6-inch sparkle pink heels on, a mini skirt, a tube sparkle top with this overcoat because it was February, it was cold. And I didn't care, you know, I had no concept of dressing holy or nothing. You know, I just rolled up in there looking crazy. And so I go up in the church, man, and all these people are like dancing and praying. I'm like, and all them demons on me were like, get out of here. So I started going off. I cussed all these Christians out. I was like, you edited, you know, cussing left and right at all these Christians. I cussed them all out, like literally. And I ran out of this church. It was actually a barn in the middle of there. So I wake up in New York going to a celebrity party, and the night I winded up in some kind of barn in New Jersey with a bunch of Christians jumping and praising God, like a bunch of, I was like, what is going on? So my sister Rosie was like, we got to go get her. And the guy at the time, he said, no, just let her go. The Lord will bring her back. So anyway, I go out to my car. I had the sports car at the time. I try to get in my car, and I could not get in, Brother Eric. My doors were frozen, locked.
Wow.
So I was like, man, what am I going to do? I just cussed all these Christians out, and I got to go back up there because I'm freezing. You know, I'm in a mini skirt. I had a little jacket on, but I wasn't planning to stay out there in the freezing, and I couldn't get in my car. So I go back up, and my sister Rosie's like, oh, she came back. You know, she's all out, all excited about I came back in or whatever. So I sit by this fireplace, dude, and this is no joke, Brother Eric. This is no joke, seriously. This guy started preaching, and I'm not even playing, dude. I was looking at him because he was so happy, and I was like, man. Because, you know, joy is like, you don't have to say anything a lot of times. People could just see it on you. But he was starting to preach, man. Yeah, they see joy, man. It's not, because you can get happy, but joy, man, this guy was like real cute. But all of a sudden, he started preaching, and I'm not even kidding. It was like something blew out of my earlobe. And, dude, I started listening to what he was saying because I never thought there was really good-looking Christians. I always thought Christians were corny. They were broke. They weren't good-looking. They had no money. So I never really respected them. You know, I thought they were little, you know, just in my opinion, as a young girl, like modeling, I never thought anybody was, Christians were corny. That's what I thought, you know.
Right.
And being a Christian was boring. Like, I can't go to the club. I can't drink. I mean, this is boring. I'm too young to give my life to Jesus. That's how I thought. But I was miserable. So I started listening to this guy preach. And, dude, my ears opened, and all of a sudden, they didn't give an altar call. Nobody had to say anything, dude. I was on my face for 3 hours, dude, crying hysterically, dude. And I got set free and delivered from every drug. Every single thing, dude, that was on me, dude, broke instantly off my life.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Hey, did you feel like a touch, or did he pray for you, or you just...
No, dude, he was ministering about, I was sharing the gospel, you know, sharing about Jesus, and all this, and I don't know exactly all he said, but whatever he said, the anointing was on it, dude, and it made me fall on my face, and I started crying for 3 hours, no joke. Ask my sister Rosie, she was there, and all these prayer warriors were rolling, you know, they're all praying over me, praying in tongues, you know, casting them on me. I was there for 3 hours. And this is why I got to Tennessee. All of a sudden, this is no joke, and I don't know, I was like, it wasn't the drugs, because I knew this was a spiritual encounter I had with the Lord. Like, come on, you know? Only God could do this. All of a sudden, I start seeing, like, seas of people, right? This is crazy. Flashes of people, Indian, Chinese, rich, poor, Hollywood, like, all these different walks of life, right? I'm like, flashing in my eyes. Like, it's crazy. So all of a sudden I hear this voice, like it's almost like an audible voice that says, I've called you to reap the end time harvest of souls. This is what he told me.
Wow.
It kept coming to me. I called you to reap the end time harvest of souls. And I'm crying. That's why I was crying for hours, because I'm like, what is going on? I'm not just saying the weed, you know, because I've been smoking weed for like 4 years. I never had this encounter, you know. So I'm like, am I tripping? And I mean, it was real, dude. And I started crying and crying. And I kept hearing and seeing these people lost and going, like just all these seas of people, like just different groups coming. I called you to, and it kept, this voice kept speaking to me. And so I was like, dude, this is crazy. And so I got up after 3 hours, and this guy said, you're called to intercede. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I had no clue. I didn't know nothing about no Christian lingo. I didn't know nothing,
right,
Brother Eric, about no gifts of the Spirit. I didn't know anything about God. And so I get up off the floor, and, dude, I'm changed. I had a love that came in me and a peace, dude, that nothing in this world, not no Gucci, not no Jimmy Choo, not no money could ever bring me. It was, like, amazing, you know?
And
it was real,
dude. What was different about you after that? I mean, did you still go out to the clubs? And
no, man. After that, like, no. After that, you know, a pastor teaches, he would hear the voice of the Lord. And I actually heard that voice. This voice spoke to me. He said, I want you to throw away your pink cell phone. And I had this pink little, you know, at the time we didn't have iPhones, but I had that pink little, cell phone that blinged, you know? And did the Lord, the Holy Ghost. And I didn't even know it was the voice of the Holy Spirit, but I just would hear this voice, throw your phone away. You need to get rid of your phone. Get rid of all your old contacts. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm not. Because the Lord knew if I didn't disconnect with those evil associations, I wouldn't be able to make it. Because
right.
he said, don't even look at their numbers, you know, because sometimes you're trying to see just in case you go back, you know, you want to try to remember their number. The Lord said, I don't want you to look at nobody's number. I want you to throw the phone away. And, dude, I threw my pink phone away, and God told me to, this is the Holy Spirit now. This ain't no preacher. This is no sermon. Dude, I got radically changed by the Holy Spirit in an encounter with Jesus Christ. And so I start hearing these voices tell me, go back to your parents, tell them you're sorry for how you've been rebellious all your life, and move back in with them. And I'm like, man, that's going to be humbling. So I obeyed that voice. I went back to my parents. They didn't even understand at the time, you know, because my dad kind of just drifted off, and he was doing his thing, and we're like, yeah, whatever. You know, like pastor said, you know how he kind of was like, yeah, we'll see if this lasts. You know, this is just a phase that you're going to go through and you'll be right back. And so I didn't. It lasted. I went back to my parents and I submitted myself to their rule. I said, you know, I'm so sorry for how I did y'all, you know, and I just went back there and I just started getting in the word. At that time, I didn't have any, you know, pastors or anybody, but I just started listening to Joyce Meyer. Like every day, I put these little headphones in and I didn't, dude, my headphones were on me, these little cassettes. From the time I woke up to the time I went to bed, you know, me and Rosie would just, Roseanne helped me a lot, my sister. And we would just listen to the word like all day and night, dude. And it changed me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, man. So,
I know, it's kind of crazy, right?
It's awesome, man, because what I'm hearing is all these testimonies I've heard, and it's just basically if you just have a heart to reach out to the Lord, if you just give him room, and if you get tired enough, he's willing to come in your heart and change it and just set you on a totally different path. You probably wouldn't have, especially with your cocaine addiction, you probably wouldn't have made it too many years.
No.
After.
Oh, no. I would have been dead. That year I would have died. I would have died the way I was going. He rescued me, man. He rescued me that day. And, dude, I'm forever thankful for February 2nd, 2000. He rescued me.
Tell me, Gigi, how did you end up at the World Harvest Church in Columbus, Ohio, with Pastor Rod Parsley?
I love him so much and his family. Well, this is supernatural how this happened, actually. So all of a sudden, it's 3 years had gone by, and I knew that the Lord was telling me. He opened me up to Genesis, and he's like, you've got to leave your family. And I'm like, what? You know, I'm Italian from New Jersey. You don't just leave your family. You know what I'm saying? You don't just, like, up and drive to a cornfield and leave your family. So I heard this voice start telling me, you've got to go. And I'm thinking, man, where am I going to go? I didn't know where to go. So all of a sudden, one of my friends came, and he said, Gigi, I guess he went out to Rob Parsley, and he said, he sent me this video. He's like, you need to watch this. You need to watch this video. It was about the Bible college and what they were doing out there. So all of a sudden, I put this video in, dude, and it said, this is what hooked me. Because remember the voice that spoke to me, I called you to the end time harvest soul. So I plugged this VHS in, and all of a sudden, Pastor Parsley's on there, and he says, I'm calling people out. I'm calling those that are called to reap the end time harvest of souls. If you're watching,
wow,
you are called to reap the end time harvest of souls, and I am calling you to come to Bible college. And I'm thinking, whoa, I felt the Holy Ghost. I'm like, oh my gosh, that was the voice,
wow,
that God spoke to me when I got saved. And here, Pastor's guy, I didn't even know Pastor Percy. I didn't know anything about no big churches. I didn't, you know, those first 3 years, I would just be operating in the gifts of spirit, man. I'd be going to, they called me the Wawa minister because there's this little coffee shop everybody went to do that. And I would just start operating in the gifts. I would see people, these ladies would come in, and I'm like, man, your husband just left you, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And she would start crying, did get saved and delivered. And I didn't even know what I was doing. It was just because, I was unchurched and unreligified. I didn't have any, or whatever, I don't even know if that's the word, but I didn't know what I was doing, but it was the Holy Ghost just flowing through me, you know, to really help people, you know. And so when Pastor Parsley said that, I was like, oh, my goodness. And then I'm thinking, where is this? And I found it was in the cornfield, Brother Eric. And I'm like, no way, that ain't God. So I pushed it back, you know, for a few weeks, and all of a sudden, I'm cleaning my parents' house, and I come across it again, and the Lord's like, I want you to go. And it was a terrifying feeling to have to step out and tell my parents, because I knew, like, oh, my gosh, they're going to think I'm nuts, like I fell off the bandwagon, you know, to go to a Bible college. So my mom's like, you don't have to go to Bible college, Nicole. I go to Bible college right here, you know. And so she was fighting me, and, like, you know, finally my dad, you know, he's like, Regina, if the Lord, if you feel like this is what you want to do, then I support it. And so my mom didn't really get it. But anyway, Brother Eric, I packed my car up, didn't even know where I was going. I had a little Mitsubishi Galant at the time. I had, you know, for me to pack all my stuff in a car was a miracle. I packed everything I owned in that little car, dude, and I drove off to the cornfields of Ohio at 23 years old and didn't know a soul there.
Wow.
And I played Freedom Stringer songs.
Why are you calling Columbus, Ohio? Why you calling Columbus, Ohio cornfields?
The cornfields of Columbus, because that's what it was. I'd go there and see. Then it was a cornfield of Columbus, Ohio. And I thank God for that place because the Lord knew that. And I love my pastor, Rob Parsley. I'm so thankful for him because the Lord used his family, you know. But it's a cornfield, man. I rolled up there. I had to clean the lady. You know, I never did any cleaning duties. And so I rolled up to Bible college, and they're like, oh, yeah, I thought I could live on my own. But the cutoff was 23. I thought the cutoff, I could get in my own apartment. But I couldn't. I had to live in the dorms for a year. So,
wow.
I mean, you want to talk about a spirit of humility coming from a, you know, 7,000, 8,000 square foot house with a maid at our house to go into a dorm room, a 200 square foot dorm room in the middle of a cornfield with cleaning duties. I was like, dude, this is crazy, man. I'm like, I went through a humbling experience, you know, being in Bible college, and it was good. I'm so thankful I went there and went through that, you know.
How long did you stay?
It really helped grow me up.
How long did you stay in Columbus?
I stayed in Columbus. I got there when I was 23, and I didn't leave Columbus until I, you know, met Rain and got married. But I went through a little interesting season there. I, you know, went to Bible college, and what happened was that I went to Bible college, you know, and I was so on fire for God, you know, for the first few years. But you can get so caught up in just going to school that your personal time, your personal worship time with the Lord gets jeopardized. And it was nobody's fault. It was my fault because I didn't prioritize to put Jesus first. But you get so busy in religion, you start going to school, you start learning about God, you start getting involved in all these activities. All of a sudden now you're up at 8 and you don't go to bed and you're tired. You have no time with the Lord. So the enemy slow walked me down, you know, to get me where I was just become religious, you know. And I was religious. I became really religious and didn't even know I was religious until I really came to Jesus' Answer Church in Watertown, Tennessee. And it wasn't nobody's fault at Walnut Harvest. You know, it's nobody's fault if you're religious. It's your fault because you don't prioritize to put Jesus first. So I don't blame anybody for, you know, anything I've gone through. You know, because this new commandment, I wasn't really taught that, you know, how to live in his love for me and forgive and forget, you know, praise God.
And so slowly there, you said you went there at 23, somewhere there, you said you started to backslide. And What happened?
Yeah, I graduated Bible college. So I thought, you know, when I graduated, dude, I was going to start preaching crusades all over the country. You know, I thought I was going to start getting, like, speaking invitations. And, dude, I was going to be, like, the next Juanita Bynum or Joyce Meyer, man. And, dude, no invitations came, man. I was sitting there, like, I got depressed. I'm like, okay, I graduated Bible college. Now what? So I'm like, what am I going to do? Like, oh, my goodness, you know, there's nothing going on. So finally, my friend Mandy, who's a good friend of mine, she was my roommate. I loved her. So I love her still. And she worked at the church. She's like, Gigi, why don't you just come volunteer? And I'm like, oh, okay, I'll volunteer. So anyway, so I worked in the church, and I got hired as administrative assistant. And, you know, that really wasn't my gift set, you know, administrative assistant, because I talk, you know, they put me in the accounting office. You know, that didn't work out too well because I talk too much, and, you know, it's so quiet in there. Well, I did at the time. And so they're like, you need to be in TV. You need to be in the television department. So I went down the television department, worked there, and I started actually producing television at 25. You know, and I went through, you know, not everybody knows how to walk in love. You know, people, you get judged. I've always been, you know, got judged. And it wasn't their fault. It was I didn't know how to just forgive and forget in love. So I got offended, hurt, you know, by people, not know their fault. It was my, you know, like pastor teaches, you know, no one's you're the problem, not them.
Right.
But I didn't know that at the time because I was working so much. And finally I left and left the church or whatever. And then I got a call from Pastor Parsley, and he said, Gigi, we love you. We want you to come work for our family. And so I worked for their family. And it was a blessed experience. I mean, I still loved it. I love Pastor Parsley's wife and his daughter. Just such a blessing. I'm so thankful for them because I would not be here today had it not been for Pastor Parsley's sacrifice of doing what the Lord told him to do by opening up that Bible college, you know.
Amen.
And so, but I did. I got hurt by the church. It wasn't their fault, but I got offended. And that is the biggest problem with people. They get offended. They get an unforgiveness towards other people. They get their eyes off Jesus, and they get their eyes on people. And that's what I did. I got my eyes off Jesus' love for me, and I got it on people. And I went through a very dark time of rebellion, and I just left. One day I just had it, and it wasn't nobody's fault. It was my fault. I left the church, and I said, I'm done, you know, because I was starting to look at everybody's faults and failures and, oh, they think they're Christian and becoming critical and negative. And it poisoned me. And I left for 2.5 years, and it was like the worst time of my life, almost. It was the worst time of my life because I knew better, you know.
Yeah. And you never did go back to, like, any drugs or anything, did you? Like,
no. I mean, I did during that 2.5 years. I did drink a little bit, but no, I didn't go back to drugs. But I mean,
but
I just
knew
I was so
you wasn't like on fire. You didn't have the life of God.
No.
Like you had it before.
Oh no, right. No, I wasn't. And I came to Bible college on fire, but I really believe when you don't guard your heart, like, you know, that we're taught to do, and guard your heart against unforgiveness and offense, you know, like you can go back. And so I didn't know, I didn't keep Jesus' love in front of me and how to live this love towards people. And I got hurt, and I left, and that was my fault. But God's good, man. He restored it back to me. But for 2.5 years, I didn't think God loved me. I went into a depression. I didn't know that God even existed. I knew he was existed, but I felt so hurt because I'm like, man, I've been called by God, but I'm so, you know, I felt ashamed because now I kind of started going back, you know, into the clubs a little bit, but I didn't go back to drugs. But, you know, my family, here I am ordained, you know, I graduate Bible college as an evangelist, and now, you know, here I am back in the club partying again. I just felt dirty and just bad. I felt bad. So I never really felt worthy of coming back. I felt ashamed, yeah, because if you ever go to church and then you go back, you know, and then you start seeing people like, oh, look at her. What is she going to do with her life? She's nothing, you know. I would hear people tell me, like, oh, she's just a, you know, backslider. She'll never do anything for God, and look at her. She's a waste, you know. That's kind of how I felt.
Gigi, I know we talked about doing 2 episodes, but do you got one more episode in you on Monday? Is that
yes.
possible? Because we got to talk about how you came out of that, and then how you met Rain.
Thank you, Jesus.
We have to dig in your marriage because that's you guys.
Yes.
Probably have. I love you guys together. I mean, y'all are great. Y'all are two of my favorite people on this planet. Y'all are always, it's always fun. Y'all always sincere. I mean, you could be on a TV show together. And you're so successful at real estate.
God be the glory.
And so we got to talk about all of that. So you think you have time on Monday?
Yeah, I'm fine. Praise God. I'm thankful that Gigi is
very successful. The hand of God is on her for real estate, and I mean the fruit is there. And so, if somebody needs to contact you or they need to sell their house, how can they contact you?
They can call me. My cell phone number is 615-579-9092.
There it is. Man, give her a call. She will sell your house. She's anointed by God.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, I love you, Brother Eric, and I appreciate you having me on today. So,
love you, too, and thank you so much for just being honest. Like I said, I just really appreciate when people come on here, you open your life up, and you're honest, and you're just free.
Amen.
Amen. Who the Son says free is free indeed.
That's right. I ain't ashamed. I'm thankful where he's brought me out of.
Amen.
All right. Well, brought me out with the show.
Yes, that's the name of the show. This, man, Gigi came up with the name of the episode. He brought me out with the shout. We're going to close the show up. This is the Choose to Joy broadcast. I'm Brother Eric. That is Gigi Arledge. He brought me out. This episode is He Brought Me Out with the Shout, number 2, brought to you by GloryGiftStore.com. And we look forward to having Gigi on Monday. And we'll talk about what time. We could do that, Gigi. But thanks so much for coming on. Thanks for listening to the
show.
Praise God. God bless you. We out.
Bye.